It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, yes, month in and month out, for nearly three full years, we've been in the top 10 in New York radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. Again, top 10 in New York AM radio. The Nielsen ratings has us in the top 10. Just recently, we were number 3. It's a big honor and a responsibility to you, the great listener and listenership. All the different types of feedback I get from such a wide range of people out there, and I appreciate all the comments that I get. But each one of you make up why we are in the top 10 in New York AM radio, and I appreciate that. This show is all about you every single week. We seek out and interview C-level executives and ask them the questions that are on your mind. We discuss such a wide range of professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, you know, we got to be proper, and we open with the thank yous. Special thank you to the great support role that the Bottom Line Marketing Group team plays for the show. Cirilli, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, and Justin, thank you. And a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on: B-Tank Magazine, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes, and we have a robust YouTube channel where many of our episodes are up and live. We have over 50 episodes up on the YouTube channel. The easiest way to access all of our past material is by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's where you could catch the interview I had with Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE, the former CEO and Apple of Pepsi. And Pepsi, John Sculley. Yeah, we had John Sculley here on the show. We had Dr. Adrian Boise, Chief Experience Officer at Cleveland Clinic. Dick Schulz, Founder and Chairman Emeritus of Best Buy. Amanda Holmes. Joe Hart. Joe Hart is the President and CEO of Dale Carnegie. So many other incredible guests that we've had over the years, starting from July of 15. Yeah, we're coming on into our fourth complete year. We're going to be heading into our fifth year, man oh man. But yes, we appreciate the feedback we get each and every week, and that drives us because we see that we're making a difference. And tonight's show is no different. I have a very special guest, the CEO and founder of SalesFuel, Lee Smith. Let me just tell you a little bit about Lee Smith. He was named leading sales consultant in 2018 by Selling Power. Selling Power is a magazine that I've read for years. And if he was listed as a leading sales consultant, you know why we wanted him on the show. SalesFuel, just about it. It provides thousands of sales teams nationwide with the power to sell smarter. Of course, he is a C-suite network advisor and a co-host on the Manage Smarter podcast. That means we're both friends of Big Jeffrey Hazlett. Jeffrey Hazlett was a guest here a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to have a great, great, great show. We're going to discuss a variety of different topics, including how to build your employees into a strong sales team, how to identify a toxic employee that needs to be addressed, the most effective way to train your sales team, what is an adaptive sales coach, and how do you need, you know, and how and why do you need it, and the benefits of micro learning. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome, Lee Smith. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, you're the founder of SalesFuel, the CEO. Tell us a little. I understand you're from West Virginia, you know, an Amtrak ride here from Brooklyn and from the city. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, I you know, that's where I grew up, and that's where I was raised, a small town in West Virginia that still to this day does not have a stoplight.
There's no traffic.
We don't have a gas station
there anymore. Is it a horse and buggy? How does it work there?
Well, we got rid of the horse and buggies a couple of years ago, but no, it's like that's you know, just a small unincorporated town, and it's like, and I was pretty much told, it's like, you know, oh, you know, no one ever makes it big, you know, from rural West Virginia and that sort of thing. And of course, that's not true.
Right.
But and the great thing about this country is that you can make it big, you know, from anywhere.
That's
and of
right.
course, also big is a state of mind. I like to think so. I think that as long as you have a dedication to education, you know, constant improvement, growth mindset, you surround yourself with good people, you work hard. The great things about one of the common threads about people from West Virginia is that typically they're very hard workers. And that's just part of the culture and how I was raised as well. And, you know, so you put all those things together, you know, and I believe that with the right opportunities and, you know, and surround yourself with the right people, you know, anything is possible. And so I started. So that's how I started,
mm-hmm.
And then you know, I also got my interest in podcasting from how I put myself through college working for a small AM radio station in Marietta, Ohio.
Hey,
and,
comrade!
Yeah,
comrade.
That's right, absolutely. And so I did that. I made a little bit of money because nobody ever gets rich doing radio. But
tell me about
it. Only a few people do. You know, Larry King and Howard Stern might disagree, but other than that, but you know, that is. Where I got my interest in advertising and marketing and sales, and you know, from there I never looked back. And so it's great. Then I've been able to become a Jeffrey Gittimer certified sales advisor, and got the, you know, I've been following him, you know, ever since my days in college, and now I'm proud to call him a friend of mine. And Jeffrey Hazlett loved the work that he had done in marketing, and so you know, now getting to work side by side with him, and you know, his marketing group, also is our marketing agency of record. So it's just been a ton of fun and just a whirlwind. But and that's how SalesFuel got its start. It got its start because we saw a change happening in the sales field that. You really needed to, it used to be all about a numbers game, and now it's really all an intelligence game. And so how we got our start is in helping salespeople with the background research and the discovery process and understanding clients a little bit better, and then educating the sales team to think a little bit differently. And it's a good thing that we started doing that 30 years ago because, you know, we'll talk in a little bit,
yeah.
I'm sure, about
yeah.
All the changes in online.
By the way, Jeffrey's Little Red Book is awesome. I mean,
I got my start with the sales Bible before the Little Red Book of Selling, which I understand is still the number one best-selling sales book of all time. The sales Bible before that was really fantastic.
Yeah, I mean I have it right. I'm looking at it as we speak. You know, it's right on the shelf. It's you know, let's jump in and talk about churn and burn, which is something that's such a big frustration to companies that have a sales team. Sales teams experience roughly 33% turnover within a year. I mean, why is this churn and burn culture the norm? Is there a way really to fix that?
Well, I think there's a way to reduce it. You're never really going to totally get rid of it. And, I mean, there are several reasons why. I mean, sales is a very results-oriented business. So in any results-oriented business, think professional sports, for example.
Right.
You know, coaches are hired to be fired. And, you know, salespeople is like, well, you know, it's like you have to bring the results. And in many sales positions, I mean, your pay is dictated on the results that you bring in.
Right.
And that's also part of the allure of it, because if you're really hardworking and you know you've got game and you're really good at helping other people, you can, you know,
you can
make a lot of money.
Right.
But on the other hand, though, it's like, you know, you can burn out, though, if you put too much stress on yourself. And there's that. But, you know, most salespeople, they leave a sales job because of issues or dissatisfaction with their direct manager. So one of the problems that we have in the sales field in general is that how sales managers typically get hired too many times is that, well, we take our best salesperson and we figure, well, they know all the clients and they can help close and they can help put out fires, where we'll promote them to sales manager. And then we don't give them any sales management training. I mean, more than half of sales managers do not get any training related to sales management at all. And so they're just kind of thrown out there. And it's a totally different discipline. It's a different job than sales is. And so we run into these issues that salespeople then have with sales managers, and that's what causes about half of them to leave.
Wow. So let's move along, and I want to get back to that soon, because that's you know, a great and a very important point, and I want to just, you know, stress it before I move on, and that is the fact that someone was a great salesperson does not necessarily mean that they could become a great sales manager. And many companies make that mistake. And certainly one thing is clear, based on what Lee just said, is that if someone you do feel can graduate from a salesperson to a sales manager, they must get the proper training. That's clear.
I think I'll use the professional sports analogy again. Think of all the great athletes, for example, who were superstars or whatever. Well, let's see if they can coach a team. Right. And they end up being the absolute worst coaches that you've ever seen.
Right.
But they were great players.
Right. In many cases. And, although some do move on to become great coaches. Right. It depends on the talent.
Some do. But, you know, the best, like you think baseball or you think basketball or whatever, the best coaches or managers are the ones who were kind of middle of the road. They weren't the superstars or whatever because they actually had to work hard at it. They had to learn the process, and they had to be disciplined. It just didn't come naturally to them. And if it comes naturally to you, it's kind of hard for you to know how to teach it.
Yeah. Let's talk about corporate culture. How does that impact sales performance?
I think I'm going to make another analogy here to, you know, why do some plants or flowers or whatever thrive in one garden, but if you move that same flower or plant then to a different garden, it dies. And, you know, it's usually either because of the environment that it's in. So if it's something grows well in New Jersey, for example, it may not grow so well in the altitude of Denver, Colorado. And the other reason might be because of the gardener. In this case, then, I'm making an analogy then with the direct supervisor or the sales manager. So, I mean, those are two reasons why that sometimes you could take someone who's performed great in the past and they may not perform greatly in the future. That environment I'm talking about that is the soil, is the culture. And it is all of the things then that that help to determine whether or not that salesperson is in the right environment then to have success. Do they have the proper support? Do they have the proper training? Are they surrounded with other salespeople that are cutthroat and trying to do them harm? Or are they surrounded by teammates then who are actually trying to help them and be collaborative with them? Do they have good management? Do they have a company then that has great leadership and a great vision for the future and is very agile then in being able to react to changes in the marketplace? And if they have all those things, that's only going to increase the opportunities for success. And so that's one way that culture affects performance. And then, of course, the other one is that, you know, if you have a bad culture, then you are two and a half times, the folks that have bad sales have bad cultures, according to a Columbia University study, if I recall correctly, 2.5 times more likely than to have higher turnover than those who do not. And so when you have that high turnover, you're constantly having to cover for somebody else's territory, or you're constantly having to have somebody shadow you or mentor you or something like that, which are things that distract you from the task at hand. And that, you know, and that, of course, impacts the sales performance of everybody.
You know, Lee, I'll tell you why I enjoy so much what you're pointing out. And that is because these are things that don't necessarily show on the financial charts. They don't show on the financial charts, right? We refer to them as EQ instead of IQ. And yet, it's so critical. It's so critical. If there's a great culture and people are happy, there's lower turnover, which of course means, you know, clients are more satisfied because they could connect with someone long term. And meanwhile, many times corporations will just look at the line item and say, okay, just slash the person and turn, and not realizing that there is the air within the company, the culture that has a tremendous difference, even though you can't necessarily connect those dots directly.
But you can feel it. I mean, I've stepped into to clients that have horrible cultures, and you just kind of felt the gloom and doom come over you as you actually go through the security gate, because there's always a security gate at these companies. I wonder why. And and you just feel it. But you can also then walk into a company that's got a great culture, and you feel the electricity and the energy as soon as you walk in the door. Yeah. And so it's just one of those things, you know, how a building is either electric or it's dead. That's a good indication of culture right there.
Amazing. Amazing. Man, I must give a shout out here to the team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group. We really, low turnover, high energy. We get the compliments, but it's really, you're speaking to us. But now I'm going to turn to the other side, not what goes on here at Bottom Line, but just we do have to address it. And what happens when there's a toxic employee? What is the impact of that person on the sales team? And is there, my second part of the question, is there a way to identify the quote-unquote toxic nature that, you know, that that person would have before it contaminates the whole staff?
Well, I mentioned sales managers earlier, but 52% of sales executives in the United States have said that they've left companies voluntarily because they've had issues with the company culture or some toxicity in the workplace. And it's one of those things where you can spot it somewhat when you see people avoiding other people or tiptoeing by somebody else's office or desk or something like that. That's usually not a good sign. Sometimes it's hard to root out because, you know, initially, you know, the people might be hesitant then to say anything about it because, well, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's more about my perception and maybe it's not what it seems or something like that. And there's a little bit of self-doubt that happens. But when, you know, when you see people then talking amongst themselves and they're actually finally bringing it to your attention, then you've got a problem. And you know, I think someone had pointed out that then on our LinkedIn channels that it's always a good idea that once you realize you've got a problem with a toxic employee, is that, you know, don't try to go it alone. It's like if you've got an HR department, use them. And if you don't have an HR department and you're a small business or whatever, then seek a good employment attorney because you might need it. But the best thing to do there is try to avoid any causing more problems for yourself than the toxic employee is going to cause on their own. And I think that's always the danger then, is that everyone walks on eggshells and afraid of saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, or offending the toxic employee or raising their ire or fearing retaliation. Even though there are laws against that sort of thing, that's what happens. And it's sort of like, again, we'll use the sports analogy, it's like having a cancer in the locker room. And what happens is that great performers, you know, raise the performance level of everybody around them. Toxic performers, you know, reduce the performance level of everyone around them. And so that when you apply that to a sales team, we're talking real money here in dollars and cents. As far as your second question about identifying them, you can't fix what you can't see. And sometimes it's not easy to see a toxic employee directly. One of the things that we do is we use a battery of assessments, whether they be behavioral assessments, personality assessments, and the like then. And by combining all three of the assessments that we use, we can actually get a good indication of the likelihood of toxicity from a given employee. And it's rare. I mean, it's like very rarely do the flags pop up that we see the toxicity. Maybe about 1 in 10 is what we see. But the thing is that if you're able to watch for it, and then, you know, not react, but always just keep an eye out, a watchful eye, you're going to be far more likely to spot it and perhaps deal with it when it's a small problem before it becomes a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go to a commercial break, how could people find out more about your assessment?
So our assessments are part of a platform that we have called mm-hmm. Sales Fuel Coach, which is a sales coaching platform. And as part of that, we use feedback loops, we use engagement surveys, we use coaching questions, but we also use these scientific assessments then to help manage and develop the sales team. And you'll find that in the Sales Fuel Coach platform at salesfuel.com.
Great, salesfuel.com.
Yep.
My guest this evening is Lee Smith, the CEO and founder of Sales Fuel. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500 or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit AlitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Lee Smith, the CEO and founder of SalesFuel. You can find out more information by going to their site, salesfuel.com, salesfuel.com. Lee, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's my pleasure.
Well, thank you. We're going to jump right back in. And by the way, this show is fantastic for anyone in the sales field or for anyone in management that understands that sales is the fuel of the company. And that should include most of the people listening to the show right now, because at the end of the day, every single business lives and dies based on sales and the sales throughput. And therefore, that's why having Lee on the show is a treat and really critical that we share his wisdom on a show like this. Yeah, Lee.
You know, we had Michael Houlihan, who was the founder of Barefoot Wines, and we had him on our Manage Smarter podcast. And he ran his company before he sold it off to Gallo, as that he considered that everybody was either in sales or was in sales support.
Yeah.
So pretty much, if you were customer facing, if you're dealing with customers at all, you're in sales. And if you were not dealing with customers directly or something like that, you're in sales support. And that was pretty much what was his attitude toward structuring a company. And it's mine too, because everybody is either in sales or sales support, and has an impact on the bottom line just by doing their job well.
100%. By the way, a shout out to Michael. We had him here on the show. Such a great guest.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what else he shared? This is not, you know, I digress for a minute. One of the greatest lines he shared: never waste a perfectly good mistake.
Yes.
He said, yes. When a company
He's a big fan of when you make a mistake, it's an opportunity to document and to be able to share
exactly
what the mistake was and then how we go about fixing it.
That's exactly right. And it was such a great line. It's so important because, you know, I have a different line. My own line is, I don't cry over spilled milk, but I don't want the milk to spill again. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's basically what it is. Listen, if a mistake happens, it happens. But now let's learn from it and figure out how to make sure to avoid that it happens again. Moving along, getting back to sales, how would you suggest that one identify and even motivates their sales reps in order to increase their performance and results?
Well, there's another scientific assessment we used, and they actually measured the motivation of each person, not just the sales reps, but each person. There are seven different dimensions of those motivations, and then it's on a spectrum. So it's like if you're on the left side of the spectrum, I think of it sort of like a political spectrum. You know, if you're in the middle, well, that's where most people are. If you're way out on the left, way out on the right, just like in politics, where that's where right. all the yeah. I don't know how I want to
yeah.
go.
Yeah,
that's where
yeah.
bad things happen. So, but you know, if you're left, it's good. If you're right, it's good as well, because it's just a different level of motivation. One of the things that salespeople have to have is a high investment. And what I mean by that is that they're highly efficient, because everything that they do, they're thinking about how they're going to gain personally from it. So it's very high ROI. And what I mean by that is it's not just financial. It's not just if I spend my money here, I'm going to make more money there. But the biggest currency that a salesperson has is their time and their energy. And so anything that sucks their energy by, for example, listening to a gossip or a toxic employee in the office place drains their energy, and that makes it tougher for them to generate income. And likewise, then their time, any time sucks that are out there. You know, that we always think it's a, you know, even after you leave the job and, you know, you're stuck on the train trying to go back home, and, you know, you could waste that time, or you could actually use that time to improve your craft or to prepare for the next day sales calls and that sort of thing. Or you could watch it, you know, use it watching cat videos, which, you know, I watch cat videos myself, so it's like I'm not going to say it's all bad, but it's like it's just an, everything in moderation, I guess.
You got to leverage your time, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so to take a look at that one is very, very important. If you're a sales manager, you want to have high power, because power doesn't necessarily mean that you're power hungry. That's, you're only power hungry if you're all the way out on the fringes. But if you have a strong power motivator, that means that you desire control over your situation and your surroundings. And, you know, that's something that all managers really need to seek, is making sure they have control over their sales team and the client list and where the revenue is going. So you can identify that. I think the other thing that's really important about motivators, though, is, and this is a very simple thing, even you can do this one without assessments. I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow over in Morris County at the Morris Growth Con over New Jersey. And it's, we're going to be talking about a simple, very simple thing, which is to find out the favorite things of every employee. You know, what's their favorite coffee? What's their favorite sandwich? Where do they like to go on vacation? What's on their bucket list? What's their favorite color? What's their favorite flower? What are their favorite places to shop? Where do they like to go on vacation? I don't know if I mentioned that one yet or not. Knowing all these things actually helps a sales manager to create incentives or simple little rewards to say thank you or to acknowledge then that progress is being made and to reinforce behaviors, you know, that are positive to the bottom line and to the sales staff. And so Harvey McKay used to say that you need to know the Harvey McKay 66 about a customer. Well, there are equally that number of things that you can learn about a salesperson and your sales staff then that can help you speak their language and to help motivate them to higher performance.
So now moving along, how do you identify what prevents a sales rep from closing more deals?
Again, there's another assessment that we use, which is a sales IQ assessment, which measures aptitude. So we start there. Obviously, you're going to take a look at the metrics that you're going to get from a CRM system. What's their close rate? What's their activity rate for pursuing new business? That sort of thing. Obviously, you're going to look at that. But those are the activities. And, you know, if a salesperson wants to change their lifestyle, they first have to change the results that they're bringing in. And to change the results they're bringing in, they have to change, you know, they have to change the activities that they pursue. But to change the activities that they pursue, we really have to take a look at their attitude and their philosophies toward work. And I'm basically paraphrasing something that Jim Rohn once said in that regard. So we take a look at, first of all, you know, their areas of strengths and weaknesses as far as the sales game is concerned. A lot of sales reps, we see about 40% of sales reps have problems with closing. However, a large percentage of those that have problems with closing, we also find have a problem with the discovery stage, which is asking all the right questions, asking smart questions of a prospect and understanding, you know, what they, not just their needs, but also understanding what they want to do, what they want to get out of potentially making a change in your favor to buy your product or service. And then understanding them from a personal standpoint about, okay, if they're going to have to deal with all the stakeholders who are affected by this change and stick their neck out, why would they do that? What's in it for them? And the salespeople that do a great job at discovery have a much easier chance at closing because they've gained leverage then that they can turn around and craft into a proposal or a recommendation that makes sense, that solves problems. Sales is not about telling. It's not about magic words or techniques or anything like that. It's really about helping other people. And if you ask the smart questions and identify, you know, I don't want to say find the pain because I'm not a big fan of that necessarily, but if you can find out what they want to achieve, whether it be because they have an objective or goal in mind that they want to achieve, or maybe a problem that they're having, and how they're impacted personally by solving that problem or achieving that goal, you have a leg up over just about any salesperson that's out there. So we definitely look at those things first. And if you manage to those things and improve those areas, that certainly goes a long way.
My guest this evening is Lee Smith, CEO and founder of SalesFuel. You can find out more information about their robust platform on identifying and spotting great, you know, and finding out before you get too deep into the process and identifying a superstar in the sales field, salesfuel.com. It's that simple, salesfuel.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Lee Smith, CEO and founder of SalesFuel. SalesFuel.com, that's the platform. If you're running a company, many in the audience are involved in management or executive positions at a company, SalesFuel.com, you got to check it out. That is really a secret. For many, it's not a secret, but if you're hearing about it for the first time, it definitely is a secret to you. Now it's not anymore. In order to spot, well, it's not really to spot the great talent because it's once you have someone, but if they go through this process, you'll get a pretty good idea if you have a superstar that's applying for a position at your company. Is that a fair way to put it, Lee?
I mean, that's definitely the first step. And then once you have somebody in your company, whether they're a superstar or not, the idea is to try to improve their performance incrementally over time. So even if you have, I like to believe that we want to move the middle. If we can't always hire A players and superstars every time, but if we have a good B player, well, we can elevate them to become a B plus player. And if you do that with enough of the middle of your sales staff, where the sales results are tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's something. It just seems to be a perception. I'm not sure if there's stats on this, but many companies just don't realize how critical it is to devote time to coaching its current employees, thinking that, okay, we'll just hire someone else. And, of course, to train in someone from scratch is far more costly than even just investing in your current team. Are there stats on that? And why is it that companies just don't get it?
Yeah, I mean, the ATD came out with ATD is the Association for Talent Development, and they came out with a study just last year that say that 38% of companies do no sales coaching at all. We have our own study that shows that 81% of salespeople say they do not receive consistent sales coaching that's personalized to their unique needs. Only 22% say that the sales coaching they do receive actually helps improve their win rates. So you have an issue of either not getting it all, or when they do get it, it's not very effective, the way that's being done. On the flip side, though, there are stats then from CSO Insights, a very well-respected research company in the sales field, that say that you can actually improve the performance of your sales staff by 35% and the win rates by 35% if you have a formal, structured, consistent approach to sales coaching. And so it does work, but to answer your question, why? The number one reason why people say they don't do it is they don't have enough time. And I can't imagine, though, that, why wouldn't you? And I think the other reason is they think that sales coaching is sitting them down, okay, tell me why we haven't closed a McGillicuddy account this week. That's not a coaching question, and a status check or a pipeline review is not a one-on-one session. It's not a coaching session either. Coaching sessions are really all about growth and professional development so that you can improve performance month after month after month and improve those results consistently over time.
Yeah. So, just moving along on the same topic, what is your suggestion? What is the most effective way to train and coach a sales team, especially with the fact that time is limited?
Well, and training, I'm a big believer in adaptive learning, which is instead of bringing everybody through a classroom session where everybody gets the same content, I was one of those kids in school that was bored to death because I already knew, the content that was being presented. And right. So then I would act up in class and get in trouble. And I was that kid. And so the thing
one second, Lee, your teacher might be listening,
I hope that a teacher would be proud
okay.
that they actually. I mean, I had a couple of teachers that had a tremendous influence on me as a kid, and really helped me shine and grow and everything like that. And so, I am so appreciative to some of the teachers I had, even when I was acting up.
But yeah, sorry for taking you off the topic here about training.
Yeah, well, about that. So adaptive learning is really all about, instead of giving everybody the same content at the same time, putting them in a classroom session, is that you focus on what the individual needs are of each individual person, what are their areas of need, and you focus on teaching them that first. And so with sales coaching, we are applying it the same way, which I call adaptive sales coaching, that we do have a formal process, but we're not making everybody work on their elevator pitch. We're not making everybody focus on here's the best way to answer this objection, that sort of thing. Well, that's important. We want to focus on professional development, and everybody has different needs, whether it be weaknesses in sales skills. People skills is a big one. It could be their use of technology. All of those things factor in, and we identify then what those areas of needs are and then adapt the sales coaching to that. Everybody gets different sales coaching. The process might be the same, but the content of what everybody gets is different because you're focusing on what they need first, and what they already know, you're saving that for later.
Now, I've also heard you speak about and you talk about micro learning. What can you explain what micro learning is and the benefits of it?
Yeah, instead of sitting somebody in a classroom session for a half hour or several hours for that matter, we live in a very fast-paced world these days. And we also, many of us, you know, have some level of attention deficit. I was also that kid. And so that's why micro-learning definitely appeals to me. The idea is that we break things down into, you know, bite-sized chunks, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes at a time, single topic. And the other thing about, and do that repeatedly. And so instead of doing a 1 hour classroom session, you do it in 10, you know, 7, 8 minute chunks at a time. The key to micro learning, though, is not just breaking it down into smaller chunks, though, it's that you actually have to have some activity that follows that. So whether it be coaching questions or some sort of assignment to take what you've learned and let's discuss it or actually do something with it. And so it's a very active form of learning as well, which I really like, because you're actually applying, you know, what you've learned during that short bite-sized chunk immediately then, and that improves retention greatly. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember one study, I think it was the Journal of Applied Psychology said that the microlearning actually improves the transfer of learning considerably, and it actually makes it 17% more efficient. And that's important when in sales training, when 70% of what's learned is lost in the first 24 hours. You know, anything that we can do to improve that is absolutely critical, and microlearning does that.
So one second, so Lee, I got to go back because you're sharing such great stats here. Again, 70% of what's learned, of what's taught, is lost within the first 24 hours. Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Wow. And if someone does, if a company you know, adapts to micro-learning, we're not saying to take, you know, one-hour sessions, just toss it out the window, but micro-learning, that concept about teaching in these 7 to 10 minute chunks improves the efficiency and improves the, I guess, the stickiness factor in people's brains by 17%.
That's right.
That is amazing. It's amazing. So how would you go about, what would your recommendation be? Like, let's say companies have once a month some type of, let's say, a major session. Let's say that's a half hour, an hour. But then maybe every week or twice a week, they would have just this 7 to 10 minute bang bang session, the micro learning?
Yeah, because it's really all about sustainment. So it's like, you know, let's say they retain the 30%, you know, of what you taught them after 24 hours. Well, then they start losing that if you don't have reinforcement. And sustainment is really all about reinforcement. And that can come through an adaptive sales coaching platform like Sales Shield Coach. That we have. It can come through one-on-one sessions with your direct manager. It can come through group sessions even, but just, you know, reminding them, reinforcing them, you know, what they had learned. And, you know, so sustainment is actually one of the pieces then that sometimes gets overlooked. You know, it's like they think it's important then, like, let's have the classroom session, let's have the, you know, the big name speaker come in and teach us and everything like that. But, you know, that's like candy. You know, the sugar wears off after a while, or a Krispy Kreme donut or whatever, or a Dunkin' yeah. donut. But it's like once that wears off, though, it's like there's nothing to sustain you. And the idea there is, like, you know, you have those constant reminders because, you know, people need things done that way. I mean, they listen to podcasts. They don't necessarily listen to long lectures, for example. Yeah. Everything's in short bites these days. So, you know, we're doing the same thing here, but you have to have the reminders.
My guest is Lee Smith, the CEO and founder of SalesFuel, salesfuel.com. That's the platform that we're addressing on tonight's show. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. The closing segment of tonight's show, here on Mind Your Business, here on 77 WABC, my guest is none other than Lee Smith, CEO and founder of SalesFuel. Lee, your schedule is quite hectic, but you carved out of your schedule to join me, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you. Let's jump in. The online world, drastically changed things from the way they were 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. And certainly how the sales process works and salespeople in general. How have you been adapting to this change?
Well, the biggest change that you see is that salespeople actually come into the customer journey a little bit later than they used to, because if the salespeople used to be the gateway to all the information about a product. Well, that's not the case anymore. Most customers that are buying a big ticket item anyway have already researched your product, already researched your company and what your customers have said about you before you even get a chance to talk to them and before they even think of reaching out to a salesperson. And then another thing to consider this is like over 50% of them tell us, at least the small business owners anyway, tell us that, and I'm certain it's going to be the case for big business as well, they've already researched the salesperson, you the salesperson, before they reach out to you, before they have a meeting with you or a call with you. So they've been to your LinkedIn page. They've seen what happened last Saturday night on social media. They've read any thought leadership that you've put out there, any blog articles or anything like that, to learn more about you and see if you know your stuff and if you have the ability to help them or not.
Right.
So that's the biggest change right there, is that we have to understand that it's not about providing product information. A salesperson now, the main role there is the human element. AI is becoming a bigger and bigger factor, and it's going to be if you're transactional and order taking or whatever, there's going to be no need for you at some point in the future. Where you're absolutely really needed though is to relate to people on a human level and help them understand their challenges and their motivations and their feelings toward things. And more importantly, it's this. A product itself, the product you're selling is not a solution. Don't call it a solution. The solution is the proper use of your product then to solve a problem or to achieve a goal. And the job of a salesperson these days is to help the customer properly use your product at the right levels, in the right ways, at the right times, so that they can have the desired result of achieving a goal or solving that problem.
Such great perspective. Yeah, moving along to spotting a great salesperson, what would you say are the main character traits that they that would provide the perfect makeup for a great salesperson?
Well, I mentioned earlier about having a mindset or having a motivation toward a return on investment in everything they do. That's certainly true. Right. Positive attitude is absolutely required. It's the number one thing that dictates your future success. Oddly enough, it's not the one thing that's taught nearly as much in school, which always perplexed me. Having the growth mindset, being open to suggestions and not being so, having a fixed mindset, things are always going to be this way, or I've always been weak at closing, so therefore I'm just not a good closer. It's like, no, let's take a growth mindset toward it and say, okay, let me work on that and see if I can improve in this area. But the number one thing that we, of course, empathy. We have to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of our customers and their stakeholders, because again, we're trying to help them solve problems. And that's and to be able to do that, we need curiosity to be great in the discovery stage. Of course, you have to have the courage to be able to pick up the phone and call the CEO, or be able to go over your main contact's head if we find out that they're not the decision maker, they're not the holdup. The number one thing that we're seeing, though, in our sales assessments, though, the mark of really good salespeople, and the thing that holds good salespeople who score well in every other score and everything like that, but for some reason just don't seem to make it, is resilience. These are the people that, at the first sign of adversity, they fold. So they'll make one or two. You'll see it in the CRM. It's like they make one or two calls and then nothing ever again, because maybe they got some pushback on one call, or maybe the prospect is not returning their call or ghosting them. So. Or they were told no. And if they were told no, okay, well, their contract's going to be up in another year. Do they circle back another 6 months to re-engage then and try to see if they can win the business again? No, a lot of times it just falls off the plate if they have low resilience. The great salespeople, though, have high resilience, and they understand that no means not right now or not at this time. Maybe it's not you, it's not the company, but maybe it's just a solution or proposal that you made is not right for me, I don't believe. Or do you quit, or do you go back and you give it another try? And the resilience is absolutely critical for salespeople. And the last one is going to be, do they have a bias toward action? I'm using a Tom Peters axiom there. Mm-hmm. He was on our Mad Smarter podcast not too long ago. Bias toward action, which means is that, you know, you're not going to sit back and wait for things to happen. You're going to go out and make things happen. And that also is absolutely key for a great salesperson.
Yeah. Beth Comstock, a recent guest on the show, had a line, no is not yet. No is not yet.
Yeah. She's absolutely right.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. I mean, I know tonight we're talking about assessments and all that, but do you have just a recommendation for kind of a go-to sales pitch that kind of could work in any situation?
I might surprise you with this answer. The answer is no.
That's a fair answer.
Yeah, I mean, because there are no magic words that just magically make sales happen. Yeah. Because you mentioned it can work in any industry. Well, all the industries are different. The companies in each industry are different. The products that they sell are different. The customers themselves, each customer is different. So, yeah, you can have an elevator pitch that you share at a networking event and something like that. That's important. But you really got to adapt your message to each customer, individual customer, and also, you know, the product that you're selling. And, you know, each company is going to do it in a different way because they have different cultures and different values and different missions as well. So I would definitely say the answer is no, there's not one size fits all when it applies to sales.
Let me ask you this then. Are there any key differences for a salesperson who represents a company doing B2B or B2C?
Yeah, I believe that there are, because in B2C, there's more emotion at play. So it's like they're going to buy on emotion and then justify then with facts. Business, I mean, don't discount the fact that emotion is at play here, because it definitely is. And that's a big mistake that a lot of salespeople make in the B2B. It's a factor. It's just not as big of a factor as it is in B2C.
Great point. Lee, we're coming into the close of this fantastic interview. I want to remind the listeners, this will be up by Tuesday morning on our robust platform that features every single past guest that we've had on the show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And to find out more about the great assessment tool that Lee created, and he's the CEO of that company, salesfuel.com. But Lee, in the remaining minute and a half, 2 minutes, what final takeaways can you share from your great world of experience in sales with the listeners here of Mind Your Business?
Well, I'm a big believer that sales is helping. So always be helping. Don't be criticizing. Don't be complaining or something like that, because if you do that, always ask yourself, okay, what can I do to help, or what did I do to help? And I think that's probably true in any profession or in any job, but particularly in sales. Salespeople need to do their homework. So, I mean, to be able to be great at the discovery process, you have to be able to ask great questions and smart questions. The worst question you could ask is, so tell me about your business today. Really? It's like, yeah. I have a website, I have social media, I have news clippings, I have stuff all over the internet. You couldn't, you know, take the time to spend a little bit of time to get to know me before you come in and try to sell me something. Nothing is more off-putting than that. And then after you do that, though, is to get curious, is to ask those smart questions and then shut up. Salespeople are like radio people in a way where we abhor dead air. So when someone stops talking, we feel like that's our cue to jump in and say something brilliant. And really what we have to do is shut up, listen to them, answer the question, listen all the way through, and not be thinking like most salespeople do about what great thing am I going to say next or in response. Is to listen to with the intent to understand, not to respond. And if you do that, you'll find that actually the most useful information that you'll get is at the end of what the customer is trying to tell you. And too many times the salespeople will cut them off and we never get to the end. And so listen all the way through and intent to understand, not respond. That's important. And I'm also saying when it comes to assessing salespeople, mm-hmm. the best time to profile your salespeople is before you hire them. Because what that's going to do is they're going to stack the deck in your favor. I mean, because in hiring, you pretty much believe half of what you see and even less of what you hear. And so having data to back you up either reassures you that what you're seeing is true, or perhaps tips you off that, okay, well, maybe I'm being biased toward, you know, something unconsciously, or maybe I'm being biased about you know, the way that they presented themselves and they tried to wow me over and everything like that. And it allows you to take a step back and really look at that person a little bit more critically. Once you hire them, though, however, that also tells a manager how to hire, how to manage them, how to communicate with a salesperson so they can be heard, how to motivate them, and how to develop them. And so it's just as critical for retention as it is for hiring.
Wow. That wraps up another great show here with Mind Your Business. Lee Smith, the CEO and founder of SalesFuel. You can find out more information about their robust platform, salesfuel.com, salesfuel.com. Well, this wraps it up. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.